This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, Ted Rowe, the executive director of NARCAP, joins us. And we've got so much to discuss. So obviously we can see where the government can sometimes do things right, and when it comes to the VA, do things very wrong. So is there the suspicion here that the U.S. government particularly is not competent enough to recognize the existence of something really strange, really significant out there?
Well, it might be, but it could also suffocate any dialogue about it in its own ranks. For example, we have these UFO research teams in France and in Chile, which are mandated to study these things and to provide information to the to their public, and they're tolerated within their government, but their recommendations and their studies and so on don't carry a lot of weight. So, and we have the same kind of problem here, you know, where these things are seen, and it's probable that the military had quite a lot of activity around it. My father was involved in a UFO pursuit squadron of refitted Sabre jets out of El Toro back in the mid-50s, I think it was. And he said they never found anything, but it was run by the Air Force out of Marine Air Base.
They were tasked with actually chasing after UFOs?
Right. They had refitted Sabre jets into two-seaters with a radar operator in the back, and my dad was fresh out of air traffic control school in the Marine Corps. They were grabbing radar operators out of that to fly on these sorties against unidentifieds when they thought they had them.
So they took them real seriously then.
Well, certainly. And Air Force bases into the 60s and 70s had, every one of them had a UFO officer, somebody who was tasked with dealing with UFO on the bases. And when there were encounters with UAP, they would crate up the aircraft itself and ship it off to God knows where and along with all relevant reporting. So, you know, there's been an interest in this all along. But my concern is that really the focus has been sort of moved out of government into private industry. And if anybody's calling any shots in this area, it's probably in the contractors that provide the sensing platforms for the government and operate them on contract for the government. They're the ones that probably detect these things and see what's going on. They're more likely, I would think, to be in the know on these matters than even the government itself might be, although certain military aspects are probably clued in, certain intelligence aspects were probably aware as well. This is all speculation, you know, but it seems there's a rich history of government interest in this subject and hasn't been very forthcoming about it, so we're left to speculate.
The implication being here, they've outsourced UFO research.
They could very well have, and not necessarily done it voluntarily.
How so not voluntarily?
Well, you know, the corporations are very powerful. You know, Eisenhower warned us of the military-industrial complex actually outweighing national interest, you know, and that the issue of having control over our futures is jeopardized by corporate domination. And it wouldn't surprise me at all that those who are tasked with building these black projects for the government at some point could have gained control over the information itself.
Right, and that would be out of the reach of freedom of information requests and any sort of attempt by, you know, the private sector to try to gain information from proprietary companies that have no obligation to supply that information, answers to questions, that sort of thing. So it would make sense to me. That's a great way to keep it as out of reach and compartmentalized as possible.
Absolutely. And then there's another way to look at it too. If it was decided amongst the intelligence community that there was truly a threat related to the UFO matter, like the Robertson panel suggested, but more than what the Robertson panel suggested, their first concern was when discussing a possible ET incursion was the, so if this information, somehow was determined to be detrimental to human society, they probably wouldn't even want any aspect of the information getting into human society. If they thought that influenced by an extraterrestrial intelligence, would be toxic to humanity, they wouldn't even allow the discussion of the possibility of existing manifest.
Assuming they're competent enough to even realize that.
Well, if they are, I mean, if that's their logic, you know, then it's a tactical consideration managed by a resistance. So then you find yourself wondering if you're second guessing things you shouldn't be talking about at all. You know, and the answer is really, we don't know. And the best way I know of to get these answers is just to do science, to do the work, to build the data, to understand the situation and all of its nuances, and then come to a good conclusion about what it is you're dealing with that's effective and safe and that has the best interests of humanity in mind.
Well, this is not a new problem that the government has either publicly or privately been concerned with. Back in World War II and then after World War II, we had the onset of a very intriguing phenomenal events that were dubbed in the case of World War II, Foo Fighters. And then later on in Sweden, we had the ghost rocket scenario, which also included the possibility of like ghost planes and that sort of thing. Now, what is NARCAP's official opinion and what is your personal opinion of what these Foo Fighter objects reported by pilots during World War II were?
Well, you know, the Foo Fighter term, if I remember correctly, came out of a Black Widow squadron that was operating off the coast of Japan, I believe, and they were encountering UAP that were giving them radar returns, and they called them Foo Fighters. There were also reports in the bomber squadrons of all the participants in the European theater and the Japanese as well that encountered UAP lights and objects in the course of their missions. And so, again, this kind of tells me that the phenomenon has been around for a while. What they were, I don't know. These organized plasmas, I mean, the list could be anything. It could be an energetic relationship between the aircraft and the environment. Well, one of our researchers, Richard Spalding, offered a study of that particular focus to the Project Sphere analysis, and it's a bit provocative. He works for Sandia Labs, atmospheric physicists, but there are some ideas, but again, we have to work the nuances. We have to actually do the work and to have anything to suggest. In my own personal opinion, I think that it's consistent with what's been reported right up to the present, and that. Recently, the Argentinian government tasked a team to study UAP phenomena, and we received a compendium of UAP reports involving aviation safety from the Argentinians, and they're just the same types of reports that we have here. You know, they're really no different. You could be reading, except for the Hispanic names, you would be reading the same kinds of reports that we have here in the U.S. Back over 50 years. We have a report in our files in 1926 of a guy who was accosted by six flying manhole covers, as he called them. So, again, the jury's out in terms of what they are, but they are.
I think long-term listeners to the Paracast are quite aware of this, but I realize some of you have not listened to the show all these years. Some of you are new listeners. So let me just say this again. You know, when you say flying manhole covers, I started thinking about certain UFO photographs that we all know about and we're not going to mention, especially certain photographs from the so-called one-armed man in Europe that mm-hmm. we don't want to mention his name.
Or the twins that shall not be named in Hawaii.
Yeah, we don't. He knows what we're talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Ted Rowe is definitely with it. from NARCAP with Gene and Chris in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe's financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code P-L-O-W.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So you see, we don't want to mention those twins and about the fact that they cast a bad light on people in Hawaii. But they also film Hawaii 5-0 there.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And I see Dog driving around here every now and then, too. He lives here on the island.
Who's that?
Dog the Bounty.
Dog the Bounty.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of hard to miss.
Yeah.
You kind of started with this in the last segment, and maybe we should talk about it. Since NORCAF has been around now, what, over 14 years, can you mention maybe one or two of the best cases you've gotten?
Well, sure. We have one. We've been doing photo analysis. That's one of Dr. Haynes' fortes. And one of our photo analysis cases, I think, is pretty good. It involves an airliner coming in on approach to San Jose International in the South Bay area, San Francisco. And it's coming over the San Bruno. And there was a group of astronomers who were set up at sunset and had what was at the time a very expensive and powerful camera, and noticed that a small ball of light was following this airline and proceeded to take a series of pictures of this thing as it pulled up under the tail of the airliner and sort of parked there for a little bit and then broke away and left at an oblique angle. I think it's one of the best photo cases we've got in our files in terms of explaining just what it is we're looking at and how what one profile of UAP may be. I think it's a very good case. Other cases, we've done some work for the Chilean government, and we did at their request, we did a study of some video segment referred to as the El Bosque case, and that's available on our CAP website. You have to go into the CEFA section, the section where we talk about our relationship with the Chileans, but it's in the case files there. And it's analysis of video shot during an air show by the Chilean Air Force and the capture of some very high-speed UAP moving, jumping from frame to frame at 30 frames per second. We came back thinking that, yes, those were UAP, but four different analyses were done of the study, and two of them came back negative and two came back positive. So the Chileans declared that it was inconclusive. And I think we got to be a little careful about those types of conclusions and how we score cases. But I thought it was a particularly interesting case.
All right, you say two negative, meaning that they were fake?
No, the belief was that the camera was picking up insects and artifacts that weren't external. So we determined that though the cameras were set far apart, that on at least one occasion they captured the same object at the same time, and there's a number of examples of what we filmed that we do not, or what we analyze that we do not believe are insects, that we did pixel stretching around it to see if there were wing beats and this kind of stuff, and there weren't. So in our perspective, we came down with a solid, yeah, those are UAP. They're moving. They're jumping from frame to frame at fractions of a second. They're very fast. They weren't very big. Disc-shaped, maybe feet or across, and all kinds of questions could arise from that.
Are the actual pictures posted online that our listeners can check?
Yes. I had intended to get up the I actually collected a bunch of this information based on your listeners' questions, and I had it prepared to go on your – I was going to post it on your site.
Well, you know what? Why don't you do that between the time the show airs and now?
Yeah.
And that way, when listeners go to forum.theparacast.com, we'll have a section for NORCAP, a different one from the questions section. We already have a section there just for people who have questions on the show. We'll set up a thread or a topic area where people can discuss the show, and there you can post any further responses, links to photographs, that kind of thing.
Sure, that's fine. So to answer your question, yeah, the study's posted on the NORCAP site in the CEPA section, CEPA section.
Now, that's interesting here, too. The fact is that you're able to work with the authorities in Chile, able to work with authorities, say, in other countries, but not in America.
That's right. That's right. The AIM manual, the Airman's Manual, basically spells it out. And it says that if you're a pilot or an air controller and you want to report a UFO, you can contact a UFO reporting center or an aerospace company that will remain unnamed. and they don't want to know.
Oh, the one that's unnamed, is that like Bigelow?
Yeah.
Okay.
My point is that nothing is going to come of it that will help aviation safety or help pilots.
Doesn't this also serve as a disincentive for pilots to report anything? I mentioned this on a previous show about this, that we have that telltale scene, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where the traffic controllers are in touch with these pilots reporting UFOs. And they ask, do you want to report a UFO? And they say no. I wonder how many good sightings are never reported because the pilots don't want to get involved.
It's pretty clear from our experience that it's we're looking at the tip of a very large iceberg. And as pilots learn about us, they report to us, and it's usually soon after they retire. It's rare that we get a working case. We don't get them that often. We have to hear about the case within 2 weeks of the event so that we can FOIA request radar data and this kind of stuff from the FAA, audio tapes and that sort of thing. We don't get those very often. We do get them sometimes, but not very often. Usually our reporters are concerned about their image, and we'll wait until they can talk about it without affecting their careers.
Well, how much cooperation have you received from the commercial pilot organizations and commercial aviation? I'm sure you've done an outreach program, you know, urging pilots to come forward or aircraft traffic controllers to come forward with any pertinent information regarding UAP sightings. How cooperative have you found the aviation community to be?
Well, when you're dealing with pilots and retired pilots, like Retired Airline Pilots Association, that sort of thing, it isn't too difficult. But when you start dealing with administrators and managers, middle managers in FAA, for example, or in commercial airlines themselves, it gets a little dicey. We did a survey of pilots and air crews. We approached a number of commercial airlines, didn't want anything to do with us. And then one airline took us on, a regional air carrier, and made sure that we ended up in the mailboxes of everybody in the ready rooms and so on. And we had an almost 26% response rate, which is practically unheard of for surveys. And out of that, we did get some helpful data. It seems to vary with the culture of the commercial organization. The FAA, on the other hand, are just doggedly not interested in talking to anybody.
We have Ted Rowe, Executive Director of NARCAP, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
During the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we have Ted Rowe, Executive Director of NARCAP, and we're focusing on the strange phenomena happening in our skies, and some call it UFOs, but we're referring to, I guess, the more serious stuff. Isn't it also true that when you talk about UFOs, it has kind of an aura about it, like flying saucers once did, where you say UFO and they look at it and say, ah, ha, 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 spaceships. But once you refer to it in a different way, strange phenomena, it's taken more seriously.
Well, that was our experience. Once we adopted the term UAP in 2000, you could go back to the Internet archives and see that no U.S. organization was using that term, and now it's commonplace everywhere. And it's specifically because it has a objective quality, which it may be losing a bit given people using the term. There's definitely a stigma with the term UFO, and it's one that we try to avoid using if at all possible, particularly in conversations with government, that sort of thing. We did a study for the General Accounting Office interrogating the Air Force on uncorrelated incursions into U.S. air defense zones. We spent 3 years on that project, and at the time we didn't use the term UFO at all, I don't think. It's really important. It can alienate people and create problems if you don't understand your terminology and know your audience.
That's really important. We do have a number of questions, as you're aware of, Ted, at forum.theparacast.com, where our listeners are able to post questions for our guests. And Eric the Red, who is one of our new signups here at forum.theparacast.com, he's been with us about a year and a half. He has a couple of interesting questions. And this, I think, kind of goes into the whole mindset of the skeptic. And he's wondering if you and Dr. Haynes have a hypothesis as to why many or most skeptics refuse to admit the reality of UAPs.
Well, it's probably I'm sure the reason is fairly similar to why many people are true believers without direct experience and without the evidence they need to make the claims they claim. We've been invited to debate with Michael Shermer and some of these other guys, and just nothing good comes of it, so we decline. They have an agenda. They have a perspective. I don't think the term skeptic is accurate. A skeptic is open to the potentials, and that's not what we see with these folks. They consider themselves the vanguards of rationalism. And, you know, they're just another aspect of what happens when we don't engage the unknown honestly. It's just part of the problem, along with a lot of other problems around the study.
It's kind of hard to see a UAP if you have your head buried in the sand.
Well, you know, and that's true, but at the same time, my experience, I kept sort of an unofficial poll, and it seems to be about 1 in 6 people have direct experience with one in their lifetimes.
One in six?
Yeah, has seen one themselves. And that's just informal. I just kind of chat my way along, see who pops up and says they saw something, and kind of what the odds are there. It's very informal. But you know, my point is that there's no given that you could spend every day looking up and not see a UAP.
Well, nowadays everybody's looking down at their iPhone or their Android phone.
Yeah. Well, sure. You know, we don't know what UAP are, and neither do they. They can assert all sorts of reasons why there are no UAP and certainly no incursions taking place. And I hope they're right, but the reality of modern science doesn't support their contentions. And the only way out is through. We have to do the work and get the answers. And if they want to sit on the sideline and take pot shots, they can do that. I read Magaha's recent report on the Volantich matter, and it was disappointing.
Would you detail that more for our listeners who don't know quite what you're talking about?
Yeah, we just had the anniversary.
Yes. Reddy Volantich was a young man, a pilot, flew out of Australia one day on a short leg trip and ended up disappearing. But when he did, he had a radio transmission, and he was describing to the air controllers that he was seeing a UFO, as he described it, and that it was accosting him. And the last bit of audio involves metal on metal, so they're not really sure what happened to him. Dr. Haynes wrote a book about it, and he offered 4 perspectives, including an abduction in the air, along with 3 other more practical explanations. Magaha's explanation's a bit short. And prior to that, the same organization offered another explanation that was equally useless. You know, if these guys were really skeptics and they were really good at what they did, I'd invite them to join NARCAP. You know, we need good minds that are able to roll with the data and do good work. But I'm no more interested in seeing them on board than a number of the UFO believers and so-called researchers out there that I wouldn't want any organization.
Now, what about these reality TV shows that come on, and there have been several where they seem to all have the same plot line with the night vision goggles, sensationalist approach, focusing on cases that have maybe the buzz value of attracting listeners but aren't necessarily factual?
It's infotainment to sell advertising. It doesn't help us at all. I don't spend any time watching these things. I don't think they have anything really to contribute to the conversation. They come to us for talking points and occasionally approach us to participate in their shows. And for the most part, we don't. We've done a couple of things for National Geographic recently, and NHK came by and we did a segment for them. They were pretty good. But as a whole, we tend to avoid these types of productions. They rarely pay you, first part, for all the time that they take to have you present and in their production.
Well, they do supply you with a lot of slime that you have to wipe off afterwards.
Oh, it's disgusting. It really is. And I'm nothing personal, but I can't say that I've been very satisfied with the way things have been handled, programs I've been involved with. And I wouldn't encourage anybody to do it. I think that the narcissism present in this field is just out of control, and that a lot of folks just, you know, they get invited to a podium and they can't resist. You know, it doesn't matter if they don't have anything to say and no leg to stand on. You know, the fact that they're there makes them credible. You know,
so well, they're making a living rather than spreading valuable information.
That's my opinion. You know, the same with UFO conferences. You can read that as UFO shows. You know, and they're not conferences that people aren't pulling together and breaking out their data and you know, marching into new territory and developing project plans and coming up with funding and that sort of thing. That's not what they're doing, which is what a conference is, you know.
Well, it's supposed to be.
Yeah. So, you know, it's more just, I don't know. I don't think it helps. One thing it is it's a good indicator of the interest in the subject and that people are struggling with it. Vallee was right when he presented to the UN in 1978. He suggested that a failure by science to engage on the UFO topic would encourage con men and societal ills of various kinds, and it certainly has. You know, everything from the Heaven's Gate suicides to a certain one-armed researcher in Switzerland to you name it. There are a lot of folks taking advantage in this situation. And,
hey, you got two brothers right there in Hawaii that are making a lot of dough. Promoting hoaxes and disseminating ridiculous footage and photographs that are being passed off as real. And to me, well, that does such a disservice to the subject, and it digs it deeper into the hole.
We're going to break ourselves out of some holes here. We have Ted Rowe joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the total transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Have you ever noticed how many sick and miserable people there are? I'm serious. I'm talking about people of all ages who have conditions and diseases which affect their quality of life. Most of them seem to have one thing in common: polypharmacy. That is, dependence on multiple prescription drugs with side effects that actually make them sicker and sicker, not healthy. The good news is that people are waking up to the fact that if you supply your body with all of the nutrients it requires, you will feel better, be healthier, and have a better life. It's important to know that Beyond Tangy Tangerine is the most amazing, great-tasting, comprehensive nutritional supplement. Besides supplying all the vitamins our bodies need, it also supplies the necessary minerals that are required for the vitamins to kick in. Look, folks, I'm hooked on it, and I think if you try it, you'll become hooked. This stuff really works. That's why I'm urging you to make it part of your daily health regimen. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com to secure your canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine today. Sign up for auto ship and save on shipping costs. That's Beyond Tangy Tangerine at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Ted Rose, Executive Director of NARCAF. We're talking about the serious side of research into unidentified aerial phenomena.
With the two twins promoting, you know, I mean, there are some actual good photographs and good video clips on there, but for every good one, there's got to be at least 50 that are just absolute ridiculously transparent in terms of it being a hoax or misidentified natural phenomena.
Well, yeah, and there are a lot of folks taking advantage, and not just those brothers. There's a certain exopolitics maven living here on the island too that promotes a lot of things that are unfounded. The problem is that people are looking for information, and there's a lot of information out there. Most of it is incredible or useful. And that's why, like with NARCAF, I've had to kind of differentiate us from the general ufology field, because it hurts our message to be associated, because they don't manage their own image as well. And that's where I got off the horse with the citizens' hearings recently and some of the other things that have gone on.
I was going to ask you about the citizens' hearing. Okay, so they get ex-members of Congress to participate in faux hearings on UFOs. And to be fair, some of the presenters were pretty straight ahead, but other presenters, maybe very few, were a little bit of the woo-woo category. So you think this is a waste of time or what?
Well, if somebody would hand me $1 million for my research budget, I could probably come up with better information, and more helpful data than a dog and pony show like that. I mean, if I actually had a research budget that I could work with, that I could set up closed symposia with the top research teams and efforts of merit in the world, I had the kind of budget that would allow me to have the freedom to travel the way we need to in order to cement these relationships and to coalesce into a larger scientific and global discussion on UAP. Those are the directions that are going to make a difference in this. You can bang on the doors of government all day long, as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you? It doesn't seem to have made a lot of difference so far.
Well, what really got me was the final speaker or presentation of the entire, you know, 5-6 days. And it was the honorable, ex-defense minister of Canada, Paul Hellyer. And I just couldn't believe that he picked up a book of a very dubious abductee and started reading verbatim what the ETs were telling him. And I wanted to do the vaudevillian, it's right. Not too graphic. I'm not being graphic enough. I was so just jumping up and down inside. You know, of course, I was there working as a video camera person, so I you know, I had a job to do, but I just, the fact that Bassett allowed that to happen, just totally any sort of credibility that, you know, a few of the presenters had was just totally thrown out the window with these ridiculous, you know, comments that were made supposedly from the mouth of E.T. And it just, to me, it was so ludicrous. I just, oh man, that got me going, and it's getting me going again.
Well, can I ask you a question, Chris? Have you ever seen a UFO yourself?
Many, many, many. In the San Luis Valley, during the 90s, they were almost a nightly occurrence. I've seen as many as 13 objects in one sighting, which I actually got some pretty good video footage with night vision.
It's in your nervous system. It's in your body. You've seen these things. It's made an imprint on you.
I've had a daylight sighting 150 feet away from me. That zips right across the road.
So when these people start, if you'll pardon the pun, the term, you know, talking out of their back ends, it upsets you.
Yeah. Well, I just can't believe that people are so gullible that they actually buy into this stuff. I mean, the particular we're talking about.
My point, Chris, is that it upsets me too.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And when we're trying to get to the root of what this is about, and you have all of these folks just standing around putting up noise and trying to seem important and putting their own images in front of the importance of the subject itself, it's really hard to tolerate. It's really hard to sit quietly and let the Greers and the Bassetts and the so on out there wade around in this. You know, there's nothing to be done about it other than to avoid it and to decry it when it's appropriate. And, you know, you got a radio show, it's appropriate. I don't think that these sort of things help. And if we really want to get to the bottom of this, we need to do the work that really, with a few efforts of merit set aside, has really not been done. And that's just what it comes down to.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's unfortunate. Not only does it do these individuals, grandstanding individuals, not help, they actually are a detriment. They actually set us back.
They do.
And they make the task of getting funding, of getting, you know, real involvement by academia and in the scientific community all that much more difficult and almost impossible because they're just screwing everything up.
I mean, if somebody would come to me and hand me $1.1 million, you know, they'd get their money's worth out of it. And it wouldn't be some UFO show. You know what I mean?
No. And anybody thinks the U.S. government's going to disclose the extent of their knowledge about this subject, you know, we've already discussed that a lot of this information is probably being held in the private sector, number one, and that government officials really are pretty much in the dark for the most part. Mm-hmm. But even if there is a body of evidence that's being held maybe in a classified manner, it would be the last thing that they would want to reveal to the public. And I think all these other countries coming forward and opening up their UFO files, obviously we're not getting them all, but they're doing that, I think, to take the heat off the U.S., to throw everybody a bone so that the U.S. Maybe can skirt by for a little bit longer without having to really deal head on with the issue, which will never be dealt with. It is a national security issue. I don't care what they've said in the past. I don't care what they say now. There's no question in my mind, and you're a perfect person to validate this comment, that these objects do represent lack of control of our airspace by government. And when government's not in control, that's the last thing they want to talk about.
Well, that's right. And in particular, this situation, we've learned quite a lot about what our governments can do and what they can't do on the subject of ET incursions. And regardless of whether they're happening or not, even in the hypothetical, we're not in a good position to deal with them, and the effects and fallout of these of an ET incursion shouldn't be underestimated either.
Absolutely not. I think the classic example would be Barry Goldwater approaching his longtime friend, General Curtis LeMay, and asking to see, you know, the blue room at Wright Pad and you know, find out more about some of the rumors that were floating around. And it was the only time in Goldwater's whole relationship with LeMay that LeMay yelled at him and said, don't you ever ask me that again. I mean, that should tell you something right there.
Well, you know, LeMay was a powerful personality. I mean, we might not have survived if LeMay had gone much further in his career. But yeah, there's that truth, the four stall matter. There's Dr. James McDonald. So there's a lot of intrigue around this subject, and I don't think that we're ever going to get to the bottom of it by seeking accountability. These events occur every day in the public domain, and good observation skills are the first requirement if we want to get to the bottom of this. I don't have a lot of respect for those who'd stand on a podium and declare that an ET presence is a good thing, you know, because some voice in their head told them so. You know, there's just a lot of this stuff going on out here that it really makes you wonder.
Yeah.
You get Stephen Hawking's, you know, here's one of the eminent minds of our time.
Let's pursue Stephen Hawking's in our next segment.
Sure.
Now, some of you listeners have asked us why we don't take telephone calls as other radio shows do, so you can ask questions directly of a guest. And the biggest reason is logistics. We record these shows in advance, and not always the same day and time. It depends on the schedule of a guest. So we have a separate mechanism for you to ask questions. It's over at forum.theparacast.com. That's forum.theparacast.com. In our forums, we have a place called the Question Bank. When we have enough warning about a future guest, we'll put up a topic or thread there, and that way you can ask the questions, and we'll read them on the air, or at least we'll get as many in as we can. Ted Rowe joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.